Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you for listening and joining in to another episode of Can We Be Real? Because today we need to be real about life, about ourselves, about where we're going, about what we're doing. We need to be real in a way that makes life better for all those around us. And we need to share a little more love. And today, we're talking about how do you live your best life. We've got Star Waters on the line, man. She's a superstar, no question. She's talking about healthy living, change, transformation, how to lose the weight. Oh, my God, man. She has lost over, get ready, 130 pounds. Could you imagine that? She has lost a whole person. This is Help Somebody, and I'm here with you on Can We Be Real? Carl White, you can find me on Facebook under Help Somebody. You can follow me on Twitter under Help Somebody. And we're just glad that you're listening in today, and we're hoping that all is going well. We focus on solutions. We focus on making life a little bit better for those of us around us. So let's just bring Star right up on the line and get her in here now because you've heard enough of me. Welcome, Star. Are you with us?
I am, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much, Carl.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to share with us some life-giving strategies and ways that you've made some accomplishments. Man, I tell you, if you haven't seen her Facebook page, visit Star Waters' Facebook page. Ask to be her friend, and you'll see a remarkable picture. Oh, my God, she's like two different people. How did you do it, Star?
Oh, consistency. That's, if I have to use one word, it would be consistency, because it wasn't a thing that was done overnight. It was basically just redefining my eating habits and redefining again. So that's what I did. I had tried diets, mm-hmm. and we know the cliche, diets don't work. So I just really started looking at what my lifestyle was. I had, anytime you're overweight, it's a sign that your body is out of balance. Mm-hmm. If you have extra pounds on you, if you have what we call in the black community a little sugar, and, you know, our blood pressure's a little high and all those things, the body is signaling to you that it is out of balance. And so what we have to do is to bring the body back into balance in order for us to be healthy. So I was one of those people who had diabetes, and after my initial denial and depression and all that, I just really lived with it because I didn't know anything else to do but to live with it.
So
I was
on pills. You weren't one of the ones that genetically had diabetes. You were what they call the type 2 diabetic.
Absolutely. It was late adult onset diabetes, and it definitely came about because of my lifestyle and because I had allowed my body to get so out of shape and large. Yes, definitely.
Now, the key word there, you said had diabetes. You don't have it anymore?
I do not. Praise God. I do not. As of, I tell you, 2 years ago, I checked myself into Grady Emergency, and I went in for a sore that would not heal, and I didn't connect the dots. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got in there, and they took my blood pressure and took my sample of my blood, they rushed me up to whatever floor it was. I mean, I didn't have to stay in line at all. But that was the scariest thing for me because I was hooked up to all these machines and my blood pressure was extremely high. My sugar was out the roof. And I decided right then and there, I am going to make this happen for myself because I do not want to spend the rest of my life on medication. I knew of other people who they were on medication and they kept getting even more medication. I knew some people that were having 2 and 3, you know, prescriptions for high blood pressure and a couple for diabetes. It doesn't cure you. It only controls it.
Wow.
So I'm very, very grateful that I was able to be still long enough and hear what it was I was supposed to do. And as of a year ago, my diabetes and my blood pressure reversed, and I started dropping even more weight. And I am just I'm very, very happy and very proud.
What were some of the things that you did to change your diet and your, as you say, not say diet, but your eating habits? Besides the language, because oftentimes the word diet is just like a big wall. Somebody say diet, man, that means I got to stop, I got to die, and there's a T on the end, somebody's going to put me on the cross. But we rephrase it in a language that's more palatable, as such as eating habits. So how did you change your eating habits? Specifically, what did you do?
Well, let me address the word diet, first of all, because as you explained it, yes, when we talk about diet, it really puts us into this deprivation type thing, you know, where, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to eat this, I'm not going to be able to eat that. And so what we do is we eat things, we know how to lose weight. That's not the issue. But we start taking things out of our eating routine that we really love to eat, and then we eat things that we're not going to sustain to eat long. We'll lose the weight, but then we just cannot hang on to that discipline long enough. And plus that, it probably doesn't taste good, and then we'll give in after so long. And now what happens is that the body had started going into, like, starvation mode, but now that we're eating again, it's going to gain the fat, and it's going to gain even more fat. So now you maybe have added on about 10 or 20 more pounds than what you had before you initially went on the diet. I like to call what I was doing not a diet, something that you may eventually die from, but a live-it. A live it. And what I started doing was incorporating more live foods opposed to eating processed dead foods.
Yes.
So that's really the things that have helped me to release the weight, is to eat more live foods in my
diet. So by live foods, you mean like eating more vegetables and more fruits, more nuts.
Absolutely.
More beans. So are you a strict vegetarian or a vegan?
I am a strict raw vegan now.
Okay.
I have been vegetarian probably for off and on for maybe like about 35 years or so.
Yes.
And I would always come back to eating meat because of who my social people were, you know, who I associated with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's just really hard when you are around other people because food is the foundation of most events and social things.
Sure, sure.
I really kind of got tired of being the odd person out, bringing my own food, or coming and not having anything to eat. I would always, you know, come on back to it. Okay, chicken was the gatekeeper for me.
Okay.
Okay, so there's nothing here but chicken. I'll just have some chicken this time. Well, along my journey, I found out that I'm actually allergic to chicken.
Okay.
So chicken to me is the same as someone taking crack cocaine.
Wow, that's really
interesting. Anytime you have a food allergy, it also acts as if it's an addiction. So once I start eating the chicken, then I'm going to have the fish, and, oh, you know, Thanksgiving and the holidays are coming up.
So chicken
up,
is
so
a gateway drug
have
for you.
It is. It is. I've got a real funny story, if you have time for it, about the chicken. Yeah, last Thanksgiving, my daughter did Cornish hens for the family. Everybody had their own Cornish hens. At that particular time, I was actually juice fasting, and I was maybe like about 45 days or so into a juice fast. So I wasn't eating anyway. I was strong enough to, you know, sit through the meal. I was even strong enough to even cook some of the food. But when it came time to putting up the food and distributing people's Cornish hens for them to take home, I decided I was going to keep one of those Cornish hens for myself, put it in the freezer, and when I came off my juice fast, would eat it.
Right.
But I had already determined that once I came off the juice fast, I would be a total straight vegan. So my daughter was saying, but that bird is for your daughter-in-law. I turned into this really ugly, ugly person. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Monster-in-Law. I became a monster-in-law. I actually, like, put the bird up under my arm like I was going to run in for a final touchdown. No, I want it. I mean, I was really ugly. And it wasn't until later when a girlfriend mentioned to me, aren't you allergic to chicken? That bird put me into such an ugly, ugly mood. I was like, you know what? I can never, ever, ever have chicken or any kind of bird again. So our food addictions will make us do things that we can't or don't have control over. But you
Addictions, period. It could be addiction to work. It could be addiction to chocolate. It could be addiction to anything that, you know, we allow to take over us. That's very true. But one of the things that I found very useful in what you said, how did you end up handling eating out and you know, once you've committed to being a vegetarian and around meat eaters, how do you deal with it now?
Because of what I have seen, the miracle that of reversal of diabetes and reversal of high blood pressure, reversal of so many things that happened for me not having any animal-based products in my body for over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I'm going to touch it. I don't care.
But
you
what
know?
About the social portion of it, you know, being around people?
You know what? I have overcome that, too. I have been able to go to different events, and now I get into the people and get into the conversation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you bring your food with you or you eat ahead of time or...
You know
like
what?
That.
I have done that, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
I have brought my food with me, but I will tell you, it makes people not like me very much. I mean, it is really interesting. You know, I will be really kind of low-key. I will make sure that everybody has gotten all their food first before I bring mine out, and all the attention is on me. So now I'm just learning, you know, they'll ask me like, well, are you on a diet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, what is that? Oh, I mean, it's just really, they're kind of vicious in a way. So I don't know what that's all about. So I have just learned to either eat before I go, eat after I come back, or just I'm not going to bring food around.
Or show up after they serve the food.
Yeah, or show up
eating.
After they serve the food.
Yeah,
right.
And I think it's very interesting too, because so much of our culture is built around eating and food and so forth. But eating to live, I think, is very key to what you're saying, and having more of a healthy lifestyle. They had a study that was done by the German Cancer Research Center a few years back, and they studied over 1,900 people for a 21-year period. And they studied vegetarians or strict vegetarians, strict vegans, and somebody who were just modified vegetarians who occasionally ate meat and fish and so forth. And what they found after this 21-year study, it was quite radical. Men, the death rate for men was actually dropped by 50%. And for women, it was dropped by 30%, which was over this 21-year period compared to the entire German population. However, there was a caveat. The moderate vegetarians, those who occasionally eat meat and fish, the results were no different from those who were strict vegans.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was more, based on a healthier lifestyle, because it wasn't most of the people who were strict vegans. A lot of them, they did it for environmental reasons. They didn't want to see the animals suffer, the pollution that's associated with raising pigs and hogs and chickens and all those kind of things. But it was more contributed to a healthier lifestyle, more moving away from into active living. So I think not only eating live foods, but we kind of have to have the mental side in order to get off our duff and really do something. Did you do any exercise or anything like that?
Are we talking about for the whole time that I've lost this weight? Yes.
Or any time. I mean, just any time, yeah.
Yes,
I mean,
I do. Yes.
And do you walk,
I like
run,
to jog.
What? You jog?
I walk. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love jogging. I've had a couple of trainers, and I, you know, the thing that has worked for me, I have to switch things up. I will get comfortable in a certain eating pattern, and it will help me to lose weight for a while, and then I will plateau because I'm, you know, comfortable in that eating, but in order for me to start losing weight again, I have to try another eating plan. And so I've done.
One of the things that people have lost, you know, major weight, like what you've lost, is that they tend to put it back on. How have you avoided putting it back on?
Wow, that's an interesting question. And I haven't put the weight. Let me say, one time I did gain like about 30 pounds, and what had happened was at that particular time I was eating raw, and I had been eating raw for maybe like about 4 months, and I injured myself where I couldn't, I dropped a liter bottle of a pop on my foot. And I had on a sandal heel, so I had no covering on my foot whatsoever. So from that injury, my whole body just kind of from one side to the other just really, I mean, my foot was hurting on one side, then it messed up my knee on the other because my body was trying to compensate. So I wasn't hardly even able to walk. And it was about the time that winter was coming, so, you know, with the heavier foods, the beans and all that kind of stuff. But that is really the only time that I have put on weight. Generally what happens with me, if I'm not losing weight, I just stay where I'm at, which has been a blessing for me because I haven't done the yo-yo up and down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of, you know, just being consistent with whatever plan it is that I'm eating on.
What kind of time frame were we talking about from your highest weight point until you got to a satisfactory weight point? What range did you lose 130 pounds?
We're actually talking like almost 2 decades.
Oh, for almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Almost. So it wasn't an overnight sensation.
No, it was definitely a lifestyle change that kept being revamped. Yes.
Wow, so when you started out the show and said on consistency and dedication, I mean, it's got to be perseverance in there, and you've got to stick to it and follow through it. So
yes,
it may have taken some time to kind of wean yourself away from eating meat to going to straight raw. Did you go like from smaller portions of meat until almost you got to no meat, or how did you do that?
Anytime I stop eating meat, it's always been cold turkey. No,
wow.
Pun intended. Yeah,
I
just,
like cold,
you know,
turkey with mayonnaise. No, a little lettuce and tomato, you know, right after Thanksgiving, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I just say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and this is the day I'm going to do it, and that's what I do.
Is that
I'm
right?
Very,
you've got
very,
a real
very
will and determination about you. You are just amazing. I tell you, they need you to help
you,
make the decisions.
I don't know if you remember
Congress,
this. I don't know if you remember this, but how we first met, you and I, was at your house in Seattle when I came up with your cousin, Edna.
Yeah.
And it was Thanksgiving, and I just, you know, faithfully just came up there, and you had a spread that you could smell in the parking lot, okay?
Yes,
I mean,
that's the way we do it. Yes.
It was everything had pork in it. Everything.
Okay.
I mean, you had
the green
you had some greens
and everything
had pork.
Right.
The only thing that didn't have, I don't even think you didn't do turkey. You had chitlins or something.
Yes.
I don't do pork.
Yes.
I don't do pork.
Yes.
That day, Thanksgiving, of course, was in no stores open.
Right.
So I was up there from early in the morning, and I think we left maybe like about 10 o'clock that night, and I think the only thing that I ate was some kind of a
potato
pudding.
Pie.
Or That's it.
Pound cake.
I don't even think I did the pound cake. I think I had some kind of a rice pudding or something. I can't remember now,
right,
but I was like,
right,
it looks good, and you had lots of friends over, and they were smacking and had the hot sauce passing and everything.
Bless
but
the
when
Lord.
I say I don't do something, I don't do it.
Well, good for
I don't
you.
Do it.
Good for you. That is so wonderful. I think that is a real testament to the willpower, that if we put our minds to something and dedicate ourselves to something, that it really can work. I know for myself, I was vegetarian for almost 2 years, and I not only the vegetarian portion of it, I eat now. I eat far more vegetables and fruits than I do meat. Now, I still have my meat. I'm going to have a small portion when I desire. But I had got up to about 230, 235 pounds. And at 5'11", it was too much for me. So I really got the message when I went to bend over to tie my shoestrings, and I got out of breath. I was like, oh, no, this has got to go. My stomach is pressing on my diaphragm. I can't breathe. And so I knew I had to do it for myself. And so since then, I started a more active lifestyle, went back to riding my bicycle and hiking, swimming again, just putting in the treatment plan that I know works for me, because I've always loved to ride bicycle my entire life, been riding since I was 5 years old. And so I get a real kick out of it. And since then, you know, my weight is going down, and I could lose probably about another 10, 15 pounds, and I'd be just ultimately just totally Carl, and that would be great. However, the thing is I think it's so much in moderation. And one portion that we haven't spoke about, but I think is so important, is that how does your mentality, as far as being cheerful and helpful and a peace of mind, what does that have to do with it?
Wow, well, it has everything to do with it, because if you have a, as they would say, a sunny disposition,
yes,
then you would be able to be alert and positive, opposed to being negative and lethargic and, you know, that, oh, woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has a lot to do with your how others are drawn to you and what it is that you are able to do to uplift others.
Right.
I'm very, very positive,
mm-hmm.
very positive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you do coaching and stuff like that too, right?
Yes, I'm a life and wellness coach, and since I have lost all this weight, I am now a weight loss coach as well. So
all right.
I have a page on Facebook called The Last 50 Pounds.
The Last
and
50
I,
Pounds on Facebook.
Yes,
okay.
The Last 50, and 50 is the numbers, 50.
Wow.
And I help people. I don't want people to go 20 years like I did.
Okay.
Because along the way, you know, 20 years, because I started off around 300 pounds.
Golly.
My before picture, I looked like a sumo wrestler. Okay.
Yeah, I saw it. It's on your page now.
You're
so brave
to
put
now.
That up there. Yeah.
Well, you know what, Carl? I did not want to put the picture up there publicly until I had and I haven't gotten to my after picture yet. I still have about another 20 more pounds to go.
No
but
way.
I wanted
you're
my
like
picture.
A size 4 now.
I'm a size 8. How about
oh,
that?
Oh, shucks. No worries. I think that's a misnomer, too, because women's sizes are so, you know, this is like, you know, my pants are 36. Hello?
Uh-huh.
And some men
uh-huh.
would die to have a 36. But women's sizes are 2, 4, 0, 8, 12. Come on.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, what is the appropriate weight height for any person? What do you think that is?
I would say that you should go to the Body Mass Index, BMI chart,
mm-hmm.
and check your height, and it will tell you how much you should, okay, you check your height and your weight,
mm-hmm.
and it will give you your body mass index reading.
But isn't
so
that for skinny people? Come on now. Isn't that for
me?
Skinny people? That's for skinny people.
No, you know what? And a lot of people say, that's not really, you know, viable
right,
for black people. You know what? Health and body size is for any and everybody, okay?
Yeah.
And we get lulled into this comfort thing that, you know, oh, well, we're supposed to be a little bit bigger. No. When you are, even as they say, overweight, you still put your life in jeopardy for cancer and diabetes and all those other diseases that are very preventable.
Yeah.
So what my goal was and has always been is to be a normal. I just want to be normal. So I have about 20 more pounds that have a normal body mass index reading.
Yeah.
And that's my goal. I'm not going to settle for anything less. I hear people say, but God, you look good. So I'm still on my journey. So my thing is, if you are on a journey, a lot of times that means if you're on a trip, you're going to a trip, you have a destination. So if I'm planning on going to Seattle, but the trip has taken a little while and there's been a lot of detours and potholes and, you know, things of that nature, am I going to get off the freeway in Olympia? No.
Well, let's hope not. Star,
I'm
going
to go all
the
way to the Emerald City, doggone it.
All right,
and so
Star,
that's right. So
take,
my determination
take about 30
is
seconds
to be normal.
And wipe it and wrap it up because we're down to the last 2.5 minutes and we're out
all
of here.
Right.
Believe it or not, it's been 30 minutes. I told you it was going to go fast. So go ahead, take 30 seconds and close it out. Do your commercial.
Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when you eat plants, and I don't advocate that this is what you have to do all the time, but please eat as many live foods as you possibly can, the beans and the greens and the nuts and the vegetables. Put whatever you need to put on them. You will see a vast difference in not only your weight but your health. And, guys, if you want to have that flag go up anytime you want it to, eat vegetables.
Eat vegetables.
And be proud. That's right. Not Viagra.
You
eat
really
vegetables.
Are a star. We so
the flag will
you.
Go up on command, trust me.
Because you have kept it real today, okay? And we're going to have to bring you back for another part two of the
I would
Star
love it.
Waters program of how
I love
to keep it.
It
real. How do you live your best life? What can you do on a budget to live quality life? Well, you can start by eating more vegetables. Have a happy disposition. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Just know that everything is not going to work together for the good. But sometimes it does. And then when things just don't work together, make them work better. Make the best of what happens with your life. Because life is not so much a thing of how what happens to us, but we are human beings. We're not humans doing life. We're human being life. So what matters is who you are being, what you are being, and what you are doing. And how you live your best life is take one day at a time and keep things in perspective. And know that you can walk in truth, be true, and be authentic. Eat better live food and continue to shine in more love. This is Help Somebody, and we're on We're going to come back again and do another part on our health segment because we want you to live your best life today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. God bless you, God keep you, God direct you, and protect you until we meet again. You can find me on Facebook, I'm Help Somebody, or follow me on Twitter, I am Help Somebody. This is Carl White, we're signing off for another day. Thank you, Star, for being a part of this show. It wouldn't have been the same without you. All right, we'll talk to you again.